Who here is a bird watcher?
Anyone here a bird watcher?
I met a guy that was actually studying with Chris years ago, a guy called David Kowalik. And he was a proper bird watcher. So like he had a little book, right? And he kept a record of when he saw different sorts of birds. And like I think his aim in life is to go and see in the wild every species of bird that exists in Australia. And so he would travel to certain places specifically to go and look for birds, particular sorts of birds that he knew lived in those particular places. Now, I'm not that sort of bird watcher. You know, if I happen to come across one, I go, oh, that's a good bird. And we saw some amazing ones when we were in Uganda, including the Ugandan crane. But some of the ones that we saw were, I think they're called raptors, right? It's that general class of birds that include eagles and all those sorts of things, you know. And in fact, it was helpful for us on the very last day of our last safari when we were still desperate looking to try and find lions. Because what they were doing is they were looking for raptors that were circling in the sky, because that indicated that there was probably a carcass down below. And if there was a carcass down below, there's probably a lion nearby that's having a sleep after having a nice feed. And we did see some raptors. And these eagles and falcons and all that, the thing is that they just sort of seem to float effortlessly, don't they? I remember years ago we were on a holiday with the kids in the Grand Canyon and we were walking back up and we went one of those massive condors. And they had big, huge, wide wingspans just gliding around, you know, circling around on the thermals or whatever else. And they're just amazing birds, aren't they? The reason I talk about that bird is because the passage we're looking at today refers to one of those. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord or wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not grow faint. And some of us think it's only a few weeks into the year and I'm feeling like I'm a bit weary already. And I don't really feel like I'm soaring like an eagle. I more feel like I'm paddling madly like a duck. And you might seem serene on the surface, but if you just peered a bit below the surface, you see the little web feet going a million miles an hour just to try and make a little bit of progress going forward. And the passage says, even youths grow tired and weary. And some of us young people, you know, we may not have experienced that very much, but even young people get tired and weary. How much more is it true for older people? I'm sure Eric and Ruth never get tired and weary. Or maybe they just get tired and weary of us referring to them when we're talking about people getting tired and weary. But tired and weary is a thing, right? And as we start at the beginning of the year, are you a person that's already feeling tired and weary? Or are you a person that's dreading feeling tired and weary somewhere down the track? And if you're lucky, it'll be a bit later in the year this year than it was last year. In this passage, there is a great promise to us. And it's based on the reality that God does not grow tired and weary. God does not have a limited source of energy that he sort of has to ration out, either to himself or to others. God does not grow tired or weary. And if you and I are people that are prone to growing tired and weary, or maybe we're tired and weary right now, that's great news for us. You know, because it's, you know, one of the worst things that can happen in our day and age, you know, is that you're out for the day and the phone battery's going dead. and then you're madly hunting around hoping a friend has a charger or something like that because you need some more energy. You see, we all use energy that's unavoidable. And we will grow tired and weary. But there is a source of energy where our energy can be renewed. It's a bit like this. Oftentimes we try and live life powered by an internal combustion engine. But what we need to do is learn to live life powered by the sun. Those who wait upon the Lord, those who hope on the Lord, those who look for God and know that He's a source of energy and vitality will renew their strength. God gives us new energy. If we look for it, if we wait for it, if we hope for it, if we depend on it, if we rely on it. Paul had learned this. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he's comparing himself, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me." Now, Paul was a zealous person before he became a Christian. He would go here, there and arrest people, and he was even travelling to Damascus. So zealous and energetic was he to try and protect the purity of the law as he understood it. And so he had great internal energy, his own internal combustion engine. But he had learnt that there's a better way to live life. There's a better source of power. And he did it learned that it was by the grace of God. And he said about this in Colossians chapter 1, he says, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end I strenuously contend." That sounds exhausting. "I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." So at the beginning of this year, as we're starting things again, as we're starting our church life activities together again, maybe as you're getting into your study life or your work life or whatever else it is, I want you to pause and think, how's your energy? Are you running on an internal combustion engine, or are you looking to draw on God's energy? Sun power, S-O-N, not S-U-N. It was something that Paul learned to do. And the something that happened in Paul's life was that he was renewed. He was changed from a person driven by internal zeal of his own making to a person driven by and empowered by the energy of God. And so if we're wanting to rely on God to renew our strength, there's two parts to it. One is the strength that comes from God. But the second part is the renewing of our lives. Our country is currently sort of in a transition, maybe faster than some would hope, maybe slower than some would hope, from a fossil fuel-based economy to a renewable energy-based economy, right? And it's not just about, changing from coal power to solar power or wind power or whatever else it is. You actually need to do some reconfiguring of the power grid to enable it to happen. There needs to be some renewal of the power grid to enable it to run on renewable energy. And if you and I want to be people who run on God's inexhaustible supply of renewable energy, then we are going to have to be people who are up for some internal renewal, some reconfiguring of our lives, so that the old habits of internal combustion engine power are replaced by solar power, sun power. And the good news is that God is in the renewal business, making things and making people new. God's in the creation business. In Genesis 1, he says, "Let there be," and there was. And at the end in Revelation chapter 21, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." As N.T. Wright so eloquently said, it doesn't say, "And I make all new things," but "I make all things new." I.e., things that are existing are being made new. They are being renewed. They are being regenerated. And if you go back to 1 Corinthians 15, which I had referred to earlier, Paul goes on to talk about there how our physical mortal bodies are replaced and renewed and transformed into immortal bodies. So in the big picture, God is a God of renewal. He made everything and he's going to make everything new again. In creation terms. In your life terms, he made you and he will make you new again. And in fact, when we come to trust in Jesus, Jesus once talked about it being like born again, being made new. And so if we want to be people who live by God's energy, we need to be people who are up for God making us new. God renewing us. And it doesn't just happen at the big scale of creation or the sort of lifelong scale of our lives. In Romans chapter 12 it says, be transformed by the renewal of your minds. And so our theme for this year is renew. We're looking for, we're hoping for, we're believing for, we're praying for God to do a work of renewal. Now, we're looking forward to this in a physical sense, that God will renew our buildings this year. But we also want it to be in a spiritual sense, that God will renew our lives. That God will do a work in us so that we're reconfigured, so that we run on God's energy and not our own. But maybe there's a part of your life that's been damaged and broken and beaten down by life. Well, we want to pray and believe that God would renew that. Maybe there's a sense where our understanding or experience of church is not what it used to be or what it could be, and we want God to renew that. Maybe it's our engagement in our workplace and we feel like, well, I don't know that I've necessarily been able to do it on God's behalf and with his resources before, and so I want to be reconfigured on the inside so that I work in that place according to God's power and God's purposes and God's ways. I want to be renewed in my work life. Or maybe my engagement with the world around me and my friends and my neighbours, and don't really know how to do it, or I have done it badly in the past, and so I want to be renewed in that area of my life and mission. And so hopefully it's a theme that we're going to come back to every year, based on the fact that God is a God who renews things. God has a track record of doing it. We can be confident that he's doing it. It's not his first renovation project. He's done many, many of them over many thousands of years with many millions of people. We can be confident that God is an expert at doing renewal exercises. So that in areas of our lives, we are people who soar like eagles. Now, it isn't about passivity. It isn't about doing nothing. When an eagle is about to take off, it stands on the edge of the cliff or the edge of the branch or the edge of the nest or whatever, and it spreads its wings out feeling for the currents. And then at the right moment it launches. And it's not just there doing nothing, but it's holding its wings out, adjusting the angle of its wings, the tips of the feathers, to take advantage of the energy and the power of the unseen wind. And so for us, as we seek to live renewed lives on renewable energy, it's not about passivity, but it's about learning to soar on the winds of the Spirit, to being sensitive to where the Spirit is blowing, where God is calling us to go, where His power is enabling us to do things, you see. Because this is not just like an impersonal thing where you plug your life into a socket in the wall and you get some power. No, it's got to be a personal thing. God's not impersonal power. God is personal power. And God's empowering for our lives is in the context of relationship and in the context of living life in agreement with God. Living in God's ways. There was a book that Chris and I read our kids incessantly when they were very young. It was about a train engine called Tootle. And Tootle had to learn the lesson, and he had to pass the test, and he had to get 100 A+ in staying on the rails no matter what. We knew the book by heart. We often would skillfully skip a few pages sometimes in the evening. Sounds like we weren't the only bad parents. It works when they're younger and if they're really tired. But it doesn't work all the time, and as they get older, yeah, they get wise to it, I know. But the point being is that an engine is designed to run on the rails, and it has power to run on the rails and go where the track's leading it to go. And when it does that, it can go really fast and really effectively. But when it gets off the trails and tries to drive through the meadows, it just doesn't work. And so if we're going to be living renewed lives on renewable God's energy, it's got to be in connection with God, doing the things that God's called us to do in relationship with God. And let me tell you, that will be the most rewarding, most satisfying, most fulfilling way to live your life this year. Now, I think God once said to Paul, "Why are you kicking against the goads?" A really strange expression. But why are you sort of fighting against what I'm trying to do or what I'm calling you to do? And so maybe there's areas and priorities in your life where you're actually fighting against what God's calling you to do or what God's shaped you to be or made you to be. And if you're doing so, you're probably expending a whole stack of energy and not getting very far. But God is gracious, and God will just wait till we say, "Well, maybe this isn't working. Maybe this whole banging my head against the brick wall isn't quite as productive as I thought it would be. Maybe I need to have my life and my priorities renewed and aligned." With God's way of doing it. So maybe there's some difficult people at work. Well, God, how do you want me to approach it? And what tack do you want me to take? What do you want me to say or do or not say or not do with your energy? Maybe you've been hoping for it to help disciple your young children and you feel like you haven't been maybe doing it terribly well or whatever. Well, God, well, I need your energy, but I also need your wisdom. I want to feel like I'm doing it with you right there at my shoulder. Well, you want me to talk to my friends or neighbours, but I'm tongue-tied or I don't know what to do. Or what I've said, people roll their eyes back and they sort of glaze over when I talk about you. Well, God, How do you want me to renew my approach or renew the people I'm engaged with or the ones I'm sent to so both your purposes and your energy are aligned together in my life? Do you dare to let God renew your life this year? Reconfigure it this year? It'll be worth it. It might take some cooperation. It might take some changing of stuff. But you'll end up living in a much better house, powered by the Son of God. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That doesn't mean just go around as business as usual, hoping that something might randomly happen without. That's not what this means. If I want to get into the city without driving, I go down to the train station and I wait on, I hope on Malcolm coming down the track in the train. Except that he doesn't do the Glen Waverley line anymore, so I'd have to go over to the Cranbourne line or whatever else to be on that. But you get the idea. You see, that's an active waiting. That's an intentional waiting. That's an intentional hoping. I'm going in the right place. I'm staying in the right place. I'm looking down the track, looking for it to come. I'm listening for the track announcements and all those sort of things, right? It's not living my life as normal in my house and then, oh, the train goes by. Oh, missed that one. Okay, back to do some more stuff in my house. Oh, another train goes by. Missed that one. No, I'm down at the station and I'm waiting and I'm looking. Or I'm sitting in the hospital admissions waiting to be called up for my surgery. Or I'm waiting in the departure lounge ready to get on a plane to take me to a new place. How are you going to wait on God with expectation this year of both renewed energy and renovations inside? God wants to do it in your life. God's promised to do it in your life. It'll be exciting when it happens. But the biggest enemy of it is distraction. I read an article online last week or the week before that suggests that the most valuable commodity today is people's attention. Not gold or silver or anything else, but people's attention. And lots of people and lots of apps are fighting for your attention. And many of them suck energy out of you. But God's saying, wait on me. Pay attention to me. Look to me. At the beginning of a day, before you go into a meeting, at the end of a day when you look back on the day, when you walk into a church service, turn your mind's eye to God. Turn your expectation to God, saying, whisper a silent prayer. God, I need your energy. I need you to renew me on the inside. I need you to knock out this wall and move it over there and change that habit and change that thought process and that priority to heal that brokenness. I need you to renew me, God, and I need you to re-energize me. Because as we wait on God, as we expectantly look to God, His promise is that our strength will be renewed and that you and I will soar like eagles. Not passively, but in this unseen interplay between the strength of the wind and the eagle's wings. And that you and I will be people who soar through life, not passively, but with the unseen interplay between us and the Spirit of God, enabling and empowering and lifting and directing us. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God of unlimited and unbounded energy. And God, that you are a God in the renewal business. And so we might just do a response time now, and you might like to just in some way say to God, yes, God, I need your renewal. I want your renovation. I need your energy. So you might hold your hand out before yourself, just in your lap. You might lift it in some way, just in front of you, lifting it up to God, saying, God, this is what I need. And I'm up for whatever renovation you want to bring as well. And I just want to pray over you a blessing. You might just want to be in an attitude where physically and mentally and spiritually you're open to receive. May the God who makes things new renew you. May the God who powers this universe empower you. And may you know the deep and fruitful blessing of soaring on the Spirit this year, in cooperation with the unseen power of God. May you be delighted and surprised with what God does in you and through you. May you be filled with a lightness and a peace and a joy that come from the heart of God. And may that exude from you in such ways and in such measure that people can't help but notice it. Amen.